Section 2 The precept explained. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. In this precept two things seem to be forbidden. 1. Boasting ourselves of what shall be on the morrow, or behaving ourselves as though we depended on particular things to come to pass in this world, in some future time. As when men behave themselves, as though they depended on being rich, or promoted to honor hereafter, or as though they were sure of accomplishing any particular design another day. So did the rich man in the gospel, when he did not only promise himself that he should live many years, but promised himself also that he should be rich many years. Hence he said to his soul that he had much goods laid up for many years. And if men act as though they depended upon it, that they should another day accomplish such and such things for their souls, then may they be said to boast themselves of tomorrow, and not to behave themselves as though they depended on no other day. As when they behave themselves, as though they depended upon it, that they should at another day have such and such advantages for the good of their souls. That they should at another day have the strivings of God's Spirit. That they should at another day find themselves disposed to be thorough in seeking their salvation. That they should at another day have a more convenient season. And that God at another day would stand ready to hear their prayers, and show them mercy. Or if they act as though they depended upon it, that they should have considerable opportunity on a deathbed to seek mercy. Or whatever they promise themselves should come to pass respecting them in this world, if they act as depending on it, they boast themselves of tomorrow. 2. Another thing implied, is our boasting of future time itself, or acting as though we depended on it, that we should have our lives continued to us another day. Not only is the command of God delivered in the text transgressed by those who behave themselves as depending upon it, that they shall see and obtain such and such things tomorrow, but by those who act as depending upon it, that they shall remain in being in this world tomorrow. Both these ways of boasting of tomorrow are approved by the Apostle chapter 4:13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. By promising themselves that they shall do such and such things, and that they shall get gain, they boast themselves of what shall come to pass in such a time. The apostle in the next verse teaches them that they ought not to do this, no nor so much as depend upon seeing another day, or on having their lives continued, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. And in verse 15, he teaches us that both are uncertain and dependent on the will of God, namely whether we shall live another day, and if we do, whether such and such things shall come to pass. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. Therefore he adds in verse 16, but now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com. By phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's EDMONTON, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart, from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, I have not commanded them, whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.